Raise your hands if you want to go viral on YouTube. Well, my hand is absolutely raised. Is there a secret? Is there a formula for doing this? Well, today's guest on Tube Talk has done this not once, but multiple times, and multiple times on multiple channels. So clearly, he knows something. And today, he's actually willing to share all that with us. His personal journey on YouTube is absolutely fascinating and inspiring, and he's got an amazing message. So if you're ready for this, let's do this.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I'm a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day we help creators big and small level up their channels, get more subscribers, more views in less time. So how do we do this? How do we teach you to get those views? How do we teach you to get those subscribers? Well, we have to understand how YouTube works. We have to understand how the algorithms work to get you that exposure. So it's always awesome speaking to one of our favorite creators who has done exactly that. So today's guest is Corey Williams. Now, he is the world's first professional YouTuber with several billion views across his YouTube channel and Facebook. It is currently has over 30 million views a month on YouTube alone. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about this whole first professional YouTuber thing.
So, okay, it actually started out, I've always been very interested in making videos and all that stuff. And right out of high school, I was just like, okay, I'm going to do something, but didn't have the money to go to school, didn't have any of that stuff. Fast forward to when the internet allowed video. So, I was already big on Newgrounds.com. And then I was big on MySpace.com. I was actually the number one comedic music artist in the world for a while, which was great on MySpace. And that was big back in that time. And then I was literally just throwing every video that I had at every new platform I could find until something stuck, until something looked like it had promise. And YouTube back in that time, the reason that YouTube stood out against all of the other platforms, there was like VidaLife, I think maybe Vimeo was around at that time, and all these other platforms, was that YouTube was the only player that you could put on MySpace that didn't automatically play. Because all of the other ones were so annoying, right? So that was the first, the best thing that YouTube ever did early on that really just put them ahead of everybody. And as soon as that happened and MySpace got a hold of it, like MySpacers and stuff, then all of those people on MySpace who didn't want to just be heard, they want to be seen, pushed forth. And then you got people like me and Charles Trippy, who was also another one of the original YouTubers who just came over from MySpace and really pushed there. And as time went, we just continued because we loved it. And here we are,
Wow. Some people are going to definitely have to look up words like MySpace. But now YouTube is your home. Is this where you're planning on sticking around for a little while? Or are you constantly looking at other video platforms like a TikTok or a Instagram, things of that nature?
YouTube is one of my homes. That's the way I like to put it, because I never want to be married to one place. But I will say I've loved YouTube more than any other place I've ever been because of the community. Like for me, I'm more community driven than anything else on YouTube. I love creating. I love putting stuff out there, but I love being able to watch and interact with other users as well. And actually having people watch me, and that's not a shallow thing, but rather when people interact with me, viewers or other other creators, it makes me feel like I'm a part of something in this world and that I'm doing something good in this world, and that's what helps me sleep at night. And the pay is good, so I'm not complaining there, but even that has its ups and downs. So the most important thing that I always tell people, it's like love it before you try to make money from it. Because money will not come if you don't love it.
Those words ring true again and again and again. So yeah. For those who don't know, Corey, give us a quick rundown of the types of channels or the channel names that you have, who's the audience, just so we get an idea of what we're looking at here.
Sure. So I originally started out with a channel called Simple Minded People. A month later, axed that channel because the URL was too long. So SMP Films was what I call my first channel. And that was a channel that was comedic short films. I would do stunts, real life documentary, emotional stuff that would really charge people and make them do something to be active in their lives. And sometimes I just kind of did just whatever. I would do weird experimental stuff. My audience there, though, was so wide because I did so many different things. But you have to remember that when I started, there was no algorithm. There was literally just a platform where you uploaded videos and people watched them. And to get views back then, the only way you could do that was to either have a pre-built fan base, which I already had from MySpace, or you had to be on the most viewed list because somebody out there shared your video and that went truly viral, or you were on the most discussed or top rated or any of those other things that don't exist anymore. So that was how people got seen then. But anyway, so that's why my audience was so wide. And so as YouTube progressed and the algorithm started to become a thing, my channel became harder and harder to deal with because the algorithm just did not like that I was so wide. But I got lucky in the case that I made a song. It was I wouldn't say my first viral. It was my first YouTube viral video. I've been viral two platforms before that. But the first viral on YouTube that I had was called the Mean Kitty Song. And that one got so big that SMP Films on YouTube became like mostly cat people. And it wasn't, I mean, obviously what I said does not match up. Like I'm a, you know, as a comedian, a music artist, a stuntman, cat people don't fit in with that. And so it was like my audience tore itself apart. So if I wasn't making cat videos, they hated everything I did, which hurt my soul. Right. You know, anyway, so, you know, and I love this stuff. So, that's when I did my first channel split. That's where I was like, okay, well, look, I've got something really hot here that needs to be nurtured because, frankly, it's bringing in a lot of money, and I'm going to just ride this wave because that, it's gonna fund all the things that I love to do on SMP Films, and it's going to make people happy and make a better difference in the world for people and animals. So, you know, that's where I started my second channel, The Mean Kitty. And The Mean Kitty flourished. I mean, exploded very, very quickly because, again, that's a fan base that was built in because of what had happened. And as I continued to go viral, more videos continued to go viral on that channel, and it just built itself, man. It was a powerhouse. But as time went on, you know, remember how I said you have to love it in order for it to be successful? I stopped loving it because as much as I love my cat, I don't love everybody else's cats. So, there was only so much I could take because as the type of person that I am, like I, you know, again, I love animals, but like I don't have, you know, cats on my walls or any of this other stuff. And so the audience, the demographic didn't match up with who I was as a person. So, you know, even though the channel was still exploding and everything I put out would just go, I was unhappy. So, I lost myself. There was a point in time, it was about 7 years into my YouTube career, where I had sort of lost my path. I was mixed between trying to make the things that I love and trying to continue to pay for creating the things that I love. That meant making cat videos, right? So in that process, I was overworked. And so I fell. So when I fell, I said, you know what? I'm going to do something different. I got to change this up. I've got to find who I am at my core, and I got to do something that's really fun to try to just bring that out. And so I started my third channel, which was called Dude Like Hella. Initially, the channel was named that Dude Like Hella because those were the three words that I used the most when I was growing up. Those are the words I used around my friends. That reminded me who I was and where I came from. Nice. That's what that was about. So on that channel, honestly, I was a nutcase. I didn't know who to be or what to be. I wasn't used to sharing my life. It was a video blogging channel, a daily vlog where I would share my real life. But the problem with that was I had lost myself so much to YouTube and creating and having that battle of, I don't want to make videos. I do want to make videos. Right. That I became a character. And so that channel It did not do well for a very long time, simply because I was a nutcase, really. I lost it. Life continued to fall. Mm-hmm. On my personal side, I had a depression stuff. I had very close friends of mine who were also YouTubers. He committed suicide. And it drove me even further into the sadness pit. And I continued to make videos, putting on the happiest face I possibly could, right. But I'd lost myself. But what I got from that was that the very important thing of, if you don't love it, you're not going to be successful. So moving on, ended up, you know, going through some weird relationship issues and everything's like, okay, whatever, this is the bottom of my life pit, right? And then I met this really awesome girl who, we were only like a couple months into this, and this is going somewhere, a couple months into the
Bear with us.
Deal with it. We were a couple months into the relationship, and she said, hey, I got to move to Alaska. You want to come? I said, okay. So I packed up everything I had and moved. I didn't care. I said, I'm done with this whole like not knowing who I am thing. And I'm going to follow what my heart is, because I've obviously been breaking my heart by not listening to myself, not feeding the creative person that I am. So I left, you know, and while it was a huge gamble, I didn't feel like it, because I figured it's like, this is going to be the best for me. I'm following my heart. So anyway, get to Alaska and I found my heart again. I found something beautiful to talk about, because not only was I in love, you know, I felt that, oh my gosh, that feeling of love in my personal life, but I was in a new place to really open up my eyes and gave me that vacation that I needed, which a lot of creators don't realize is so important. Yeah. You've got to take a break. When you have that burnout, find a vacation, find a way to just relax and breathe. And that's what this was for me. Thankfully I lived there. So anyway, a couple months living in there, and boom, I went viral. And that was it's called The Coolest Sound Ever, where I skipped a rock across a frozen lake, and it got, oh gosh, like hundreds of millions of views across everywhere. And that's like one of the pinnacle videos that a lot of people know me from, that one there.
Which channel was this on then?
That was on Dude Like Hella.
Okay, but, so still on that channel, still on your character channel, but yes. This time. You're starting to find you again.
Yes, yes. So, but the channel, as we lived in Alaska, I changed the name of the channel to Live Each Day. So you could still find it under youtube.com/dudelikehella, but that same channel is now called Live Each Day. Okay. So Live Each Day was a channel change where I said, you know what? Okay, I'm going to change it from trying to find out who I am as a person to trying to find out who the world is, trying to understand how I fit into the world. And so that's why Live Each Day was that. It's like, hey, don't forget to live. You know, that was the problem that I had, was I wasn't living. I was just following the routines of life. And
right.
So anyway,
just existing, I suppose.
I was just existing. Right. And so that's how that changed into that. SMP Films at that time was pretty darn dead because of the algorithm and everything that had happened. And there was no real resurrecting it. A lot of people say that, you know, yeah, you could, Corey, you could resurrect that thing. But the problem is, what they don't realize is how much heart I have in that channel and how much I would love to go back to it. But the things that I do, they're just not supported in today's world and on today's algorithm. And the Mean Kitty, I still felt the same. I would come back, I'd make a video and boom, right? Still did that, but I just did it when I wanted to do it. So anyway, moved away from Alaska after having our first child together, my wife and I. Yeah, we ended up getting married in Alaska. And then that's when the new part of my life began. And this is the next chapter. And this one I think is the biggest, most important that I think people are going to learn about now, is that your life is going to change dramatically as a creator, even as a viewer, as a person. You are going to change. There's that 7-year itch. You know, what you were doing 7 years ago is not what you're going to be doing 7 years ago, you know, from now or in the past. And so I had to very much, you know, understand that and realize it. So I decided to go through my next change, which was heading into the kids space. So I started a channel called Just for Kids. This is where I put all of my mind and heart and soul into the algorithm. And I said, okay, algorithm, you're going to be my friend now.
Right.
So instead
tame the beast.
Tame the beast. Because honestly, I had never even cared about the algorithm before this channel. I just did things that I wanted to do and I continued to go viral. And it just naturally was a thing that I had that I could do.
Right.
So
when was this? When, from a time point of view?
Yes. So time point of view, this is now mid-2018 I started the channel. Right. But I just kind of made videos for me and my daughter and my nephew who was in California, just for them. It mm-hmm. wasn't for anybody else. It was nothing big. But I went viral, like boom, again. Okay, okay, great. This is a thing. And it was totally by accident, but it happened. So I wrote a song called Mama's Got a Baby in Her Belly because I thought it would be great to do that because I saw that kids might like that. And shoot, that thing got big. So then I told my wife, I said, okay, I love making these videos for my nephew and for my daughter. Let's do it for real. So that's in about December 2018 is when I started I stepped away from my video blogs on Live Each Day and I said, I'm going to go put 110% of my heart into this thing, and exploded the minute I did it. You know, used all of my tricks and tips that, you know, vidIQ teaches you and it just exploded, rocked it. And, it's just continued to grow since. But, you know, of course with the new changes and the federal regulations for, you know, children watching right. videos online, it's very tough. And so it's kind of all over the place. But I will say that from the time that I started making videos on that channel seriously to the end of the year, I think we were at 170 million views for a startup channel.
Crazy.
Just like that, you know, and the channel, I guess I can talk dollars. I don't really care. If it helps people, it helps people. But on that channel, that alone, we brought in, it was about $350,000 to $400,000.
Wow.
For that year. And so it was really great to do that and to just fund the rest of what I'm getting ready to do. So here we are.
And it was your passion, right?
Yeah, it was a passion because the reason for that channel, I wasn't doing it to make money, but I knew that there was that potential.
Course.
But I did it because I saw that there was a lot of really weird stuff online and I didn't want my daughter to watch weird stuff and I didn't want my nephew to watch weird stuff. And I knew that I was really good at making content and I'm a kid person. Like kids are, they gravitate to me and I'm that guy. I'm Uncle Corey. So anyway, I did that and I taught myself a lot of things. I learned that I'm extremely fast at learning things, and that's why I've been so good at YouTube and all these things that I've done in the past. And so I taught myself how to do animation, and now I'm pioneering a new form of animation, which is a virtual puppetry. And so I create video games that are basically movie studios inside of a video game that I use specifically for creating movies. And so virtual production is something that I'm very much into that's very little used. Like even in movies, I think the most recent that they've been really pushing virtual production was Frozen 2. And that's how they created some of the wind stuff. So anyway.
basically, if you guys have any questions, let us know. No.
I just went.
But this is what I love about this. There's a couple of things I want to pick out on here, if you don't mind. When you do it for the wrong reasons, yes, you can be successful in inverted commas, but are you really successful?
Right.
If it gets to a certain point where you absolutely cannot stand making another video, or just the thought of researching your next video is just nauseating, you want to take a nap, that's a bad sign. The second thing is about necessity. There was a need. Corey looked around. You looked around on YouTube and you said, yep. I'm just not loving the content that's there. Let me make content that I love. Because guess what? If I love, and I think my daughter would love, my nephew loves, times that by a bazillion other kids, they're right. also going to love it. You keep going viral. Now, I don't say that sentence often because not everybody keeps going viral. Mm-hmm. A lot of us still struggle to launch one channel that's successful. Any tips that you would give us for those listening with one channel, really trying to make that channel grow, really trying to understand the algorithm, or trying to understand what are we missing on our channel? Why are we just not making it?
So a couple things that you have to do is realize, and this is something with me that I've realized over time, why what is it that makes me special from other people? That's the biggest thing. For every time I've went viral, I can tell you why I've went viral. And I realize that I just get really freaking excited about stuff. That's why I go viral. Every single time I've been viral, it's because I got excited about something and I showed it, I shared it, and you can feel it. And so with people, like if you're not, you know, really heavy on pushing keywords and doing all the stuff that like VidIQ teaches you, all that stuff, like it just comes down to focus on who you are. Really, I mean, get deep down and dig, find the core of who you are and feed it. You know, like the rock skipping video that I did, that went viral because, man, I got really excited, just really, really excited about it because it was genuinely the coolest sound I'd ever heard. And I added in a little bit of humor into it as I was doing it, you know, maybe inadvertently, but I did, you know, but other than that, it, like, you know, I would say you just keep doing it and eventually things do happen for you. And as long as you have passion, that's the toughest part, I feel like, is just telling people, keep going.
Be yourself. Everybody else is already taken.
Exactly. Like, okay, look how many people, Casey Neistat, let's take him as a great example. You probably already know where I'm going to go with this. How many people looked just like Casey Neistat after Casey Neistat?
Completely.
It was like a big tornado of Casey Neistat videos exploded with different faces and the same person. But all that did was promote Casey Neistat.
Yes.
How many Corey Williamses have there been in this world? I don't know. Right. Because even me, I keep shifting. So as long as I stay true to me, it's like I'm not Corey Williams from the cat videos. I'm not Corey Williams from the children's videos. I'm me wherever I go and whatever I want to be in the time. I'm also extreme ADD. Maybe that's what Corey Williams is. But, you know, I am. I'm very ADD. But yeah, that is a good thing. It's like, yeah, being you and finding who you are and just being that and embracing the crap out of it. I mean, think of the most successful people on YouTube. Some of them aren't the best looking people in the world. Doesn't even matter what you look like.
Right.
You know?
So do you think there's a lot of excuses being made? Like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not sexy enough. I don't have the right equipment. And therefore, this is why I'm not winning.
I mean, everybody's got excuses for why they don't go. Look, I have my own excuses all the time. I doubt myself all the time. Like, I'm sitting here and it sounds like I have all this huge confidence, right? But I don't. I really don't. The confidence that I have is only in knowing who I am. And my confidence drops when I feel like I'm not being me enough. If that makes any sense.
Okay. So again, you're true to yourself. Do you think that creativity has now been almost stamped out because you have to appease the algorithm?
No. No, it has not. And again, I feel like I'm a big, you know, I can attest to that because I'm an example, a big example of that. I'm not the best at following all the perfect rules and how to get big. But, you know, you're talking a tech channel. This is the perfect time actually to talk about this because I'm literally getting ready to relaunch a channel right now that I've never done anything with. It's the same situation with Just for Kids and I'm doing tech. So remember how I said that the kids market is falling? It's not doing so well. I mean, it's still bringing in money for me, but I'm not creating any new content because it's just not worth my time to do right now. But I'm starting, I realized through making those VR cartoons that I could do so much more with it. So I'm actually starting a new channel right now, which it's already been going, but like I said, I'm restarting. The channel is called Mr. Safety, but I'm about to change the channel name and I don't want to say the channel name yet because I don't want anybody to jump on my toes. I paid a lot for the domain. So this is a sort of creating video games and teaching people how I do it and what I do and the different ways I can use storytelling to do this thing. Nice. It's a very niche audience that's going to be very much smaller than what I'm used to. But acknowledging the fact that the audience is small is a really good thing to do. Because if you're keeping it real, then your expectations are what they should be, right? And I know that this is going to be a trend that'll pick up. So here's what I'm doing, and this is what a lot of people can do, you know, essentially early on. First things first, get inspired. Make sure you're watching videos that really feed that love, that passion that you have for whatever it is that you're about to do. So right now, I subscribe to a lot of channels that, well, there's not a lot of channels out there, but I'm subscribing to channels that make VR stuff that I think is really cool. The different technology ideas that people are kind of leaning into, right? I'm still right now sort of practicing and learning to try to figure out what way do I really want to be for this audience.
Got it.
And the audience that I'm I'm looking at right now. Like, you have to know who your audience is. If you're just shooting out there right now in today's algorithm, it's a little hard to do, especially in the tech world. Understand who your audience is. Understand who you are so you can understand who your audience is. My audience, I just look at a couple of my friends that I know personally that would be interested in this. And what I've done is I create a picture with those people's faces on it so that when I'm making this video or these videos, I look at those faces and I think, do all of those people agree with what I've just made? Love do it. All of those people watch for a certain period of time? Are they going to continue to watch? Did this video feed them? That's kind of the way that I think as I'm creating this. So the next thing that I'm going to do is train the algorithm to know who I am and what I'm supposed to do. Earn its trust. That is a huge, huge thing. So what you want to do is when you're creating content, at least this is what I'm doing. I'm creating content that's going to be focusing on certain keywords that I know I'll be able to obtain, right? Continue to use those. And once I can grab a couple of those really good keywords, then I start reaching out and grabbing other related keywords until I have a nest of good keywords that'll just continue to play out for me as time goes.
But it's with a purpose. In other words,
with a purpose.
So you have to be realistic. How can I do it? First of all, what is my competition like? Is it going to be an uphill battle or a quick win? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people skip that research because they just get either too excited by the thing or they are just not, don't think it's an important component. But once you do that research and you realize, hold on, the odds of me winning at iPhone as a keyword are so low. But before you press record, make sure you can do it.
Yes. And here's the other thing too. It's just like you're saying with stores. If you're a retail store, you're not just going to put your store up in the middle of nowhere. Location, location, location.
Right.
Research your location. Research that keyword. Ask yourself a couple questions. Number one, can you be as entertaining or more entertaining than what comes up? Two, can you make better thumbnails? Mm. I mean, dude. Can you make better thumbnails to compete? Because thumbnails, they'll kick your butt. If somebody else has a terrible video and a great thumbnail, they're still going to kick your butt. The algorithm is going to determine whether or not the video is great if people stick around. And then three, you know, can you learn how to key and tag to be able to stay within that? As long as you can understand that and you say, okay, if the answer is yes to those, then do it and continue. But look, do not expect amazing results right away. So many people give up. I do. I admit, like, this is my sort of second time launching this, but to be real about it, when this whole COVID thing went down, I freaked out. I was like, I don't know, man, oh my gosh. And so my brain wasn't holding on. It wasn't focused on what I should have been focused on. And blessing in disguise, because my computer totally crashed, so I would have been stuck anyway, but I had to order a brand new computer. I'm like, no, but I needed it, so whatever. But anyway, so don't expect the results right away. Just start making the videos using those tags, better thumbnails than your competitors, better content that's true to you and, you know, that the other people would watch, and show people that you know that are going to tell you the truth. Like, find your friend that has no filter. Right. Find your friend that'll tell you when you suck. That should be your best friend. Like embrace the suck. Really, you know, and so after you do that for you know, 2-3 months, whatever it is, until the algorithm understands what you're doing and trusts you with that keyword, then you'll start going up the search results because your videos will essentially like push each other up. So, you know, say I'm using the keyword virtual production, which I believe is actually a pretty strong keyword for what I'm using. But yeah, anyway, so virtual production, right? I'm going to keep using that keyword. And then as my library builds up, the algorithm will actually slingshot some of my past videos forward because of all of that stuff too. And so, yeah, it'll build up. So trust yourself, continue to do it, do your research before you even start. Yes. That's a huge, huge, huge one. But if you're coming from nothing, say you are a quarantine YouTuber or quarantine creator. Quarantine creators are people who have started becoming a YouTube creator because they're stuck in quarantine. A quarantine creator, a lot of people they don't know what they're doing. They're just jumping into it. A lot of them already have businesses. They already have these skills. So do your research on those skills. do like search, use search results to find the type of videos that you would want to create, and take note of all of those keywords that you're using, and then run them through vidIQ to see the strengths, to see what's trending. Is anything trending? Has it ever been trending?
Right.
Sometimes things sound really great and they don't trend at all. Like, I mean, I've seen that a lot.
Right.
And sometimes you wonder, wait, why hasn't it trend? Like, why is there no trend? And that's where you can create it.
That's where you went. But now, the question I will get as soon as people hear this is, you keep saying use those keywords. Are you referring to using those keywords in your titles, in your scripting, in your description, in your tags?
All over the board. I say it physically quite a bit in the video, at least 3 times in the video, and early on as I can. If I can use those things, because look, the algorithm is watching and listening and reading everything that you upload. Every single frame, everything that is in your house or in your shot is actually being shown and read by the algorithm. Here's a good example of this. This is how I know how strong it is. I uploaded a video to Just for Kids. And the video was, it was this video of me in a big, like a trampoline park or whatever. And there was just 1 second, not even like 3 or 4 frames of this, this warning sign that was behind me in the shot. And it said, do not dive in or it may cause death. But because it was a kid's video, YouTube's algorithm saw that, read it, and flagged my video not appropriate for children because of the fact that the word death was in the video, even though it wasn't intentional and was just in the background. So the point being, it read that, right? So sometimes what you want to do is I will sneak keywords into the videos itself to even work. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to put a big display of, like, you know, a virtual production across every single video. But even that's something that you can do to help you in certain cases. I've been sneaky too. Here's one of my sneaky tricks I hear. One of my little nuggets I do. In a lot of my kids' videos, I will upload in 4K in a really high res, and I will actually hide keywords in the video where you will never find the keywords. Actual written text that is like 3 decimal points different in color. And I know that the algorithm can read it because I've done pre-tests to make sure that it did. Okay. And that worked. And so So like Peppa Pig, I show up really high on the Peppa Pig charts. Like, thankfully I've worked with those guys and I've had they allow me to do what I did. But that's kind of one of the tricks that I used, was that, and saying every single time I made a video that was about Peppa Pig, this is how I started out. This is the video. Peppa Pig, there's a crocodile hiding in your house. So I would say it twice. You know, in the thumbnail, same thing. If you look at the thumbnails on that channel, sometimes you will see it hidden somewhere within it, even if it's like on a screen in the background or this computer animated picture. I don't know, but everywhere you can. In the video description even, I'll write Peppa Pig like 3 times at least. Just to strengthen it there. It'll be in the title like 2 times. It's easier on a kid's channel to do that because kids don't read.
Of course.
So you could just like whatever. But the other thing too that people forget is encouraging people to say it in the comments. That's a really big thing too, because the algorithm is also reading the comments that are being left and the words that people are saying to strengthen your your results with the algorithm and everything. So by finding a way to get your audience to say those keywords themselves in the comments, that's another gold nugget, man. A lot of people don't do that. And it's shocking to me that they don't. And last one too, Google's Vision app. What's the name of it again?
Cloud Vision.
Oh man, that's your friend.
Yeah.
Every time you upload a thumbnail, first of all, make sure it's great, right? Make sure it really stands up against the competition. But man, adjust that thing until the keywords that shows pop up closer to the keywords that you want to be seen. That's a big one too, because that's another way that you're just continuing to earn the trust of the algorithm by doing that. And those are the things that I do that really I push hard on.
Now, big asterisk and disclaimer here. If you try to clickbait and you stick Casey Neistat all over your video and all over your titles and all over your description, you hide his face and his glasses in your imagery and your video has nothing to do with him, people will realize it very quickly and leave. And those are the strong signals you don't want that YouTube sees. Because as Corey says, YouTube knows exactly what's in your video. It knows exactly frame for frame. It knows the audio because it automatically captions it for you. But what it doesn't know is how good or bad your video is. So what it looks for is retention. It looks for clicks. Do people click? And if they click and they click away instantly, you're clickbaiting. It's not going to promote a video that your own audience doesn't like. If your own audience doesn't like, can you imagine a different audience? So don't be sneaky. Be accurate. In every one of Corey's examples, he wasn't clickbaiting. He was using it for content that he was actually making in the video. So it was perfectly acceptable. Because I can just see some people kind of trying to play this, oh, I'm going to stick Peppa Pig all over my Galaxy Samsung review phone. You know, great. And those kids would love it, but the algorithm, not so much. This is why I always enjoy talking with you. It's practical. It's stuff that you've tested. I love the fact that you're not afraid to experiment. Corey, thank you for sharing your story with us. If people want to find you, they want to keep an eye on what you're doing. And obviously, you're going to be announcing something big that's happening. So we'd love to get that as well. Hit us up with some links. And of course, all of those will be in the show notes. Let us know where we can find you.
Yep. So the keep an eye out for youtube.com/Mr. Safety. That's going to go through a name change and a major game change. That will be my next channel that is going to get very big. And I'm going to pioneer a whole new world of gaming. Trust me on that. I know what I'm doing. watch. We have a family vlogging channel where we just kind of do whatever. That's another place where we like to play and experiment, but we're actually stuck in a very strange YouTube glitch right now, and YouTube is working very hard to fix it. But that would be youtube.com/liveeachday, where it's just me and my family doing my thing. By the way, I wanted to just say one more time, do what it is that you love, and that is the real true key to success. Because even without money, true key to success in life is just doing what you love to do. So a day that you don't do something that you love is a day that's wasted in your life. And remember to just constantly experiment, because if you do experiments, those are things you're going to remember. And you know, I tell a lot of people this. It's like my life personally, I judge my life by the number of days that I can remember on my deathbed. And so without experimenting, without changing it up, I don't want to just smash my life up into one mundane thing. I mean, that's what I did. I did the TV show Naked and Afraid. I said yes to that. I did it. It was crazy nuts and, you know, awesome. But that's experimental too. So experiment, have fun, show love, and live. There we go.
Well, how do you top that? So the only thing we can say is thank you. You're always sharing. You're always around. So Corey, thank you for hanging out with us. Really appreciate your time.
Pleasure.
And for the rest of you guys still listening out here and definitely being inspired, please make sure you share this episode with at least one other content creator who's maybe struggling, maybe he's lost their way, maybe he's lost their passion, and just needs a bit of Corey Williams magic in their life to really ignite that passion again. Share this episode with them. Let's help each other out. We're one creator family. Smash that subscribe button on your favorite podcast applications. Everything will be in the show notes, so definitely go check Corey's stuff out, and I'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks for hanging out.